on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. You guys, today is an exciting episode because I have the incredible Ty Herndon joining me. I am a super fan of him. I was a super fan of him when I grew up listening to his music. And the fact that I'm friends with him now and got to interview him was just, honestly, it was a dream come true. He sang the song, What Mattered Most. Her eyes are blue, her hair was long, 64, she was born in Baton Rouge. You know that song. It won Song of the Year. He has sold 5 million albums. He just came out with a new album, House on Fire, where he wrote half to most of the songs, which is freaking awesome. It's one of the first albums he's written majority of the songs. It's amazing, and y'all, this is such an honest interview. He talks about how he came out as a gay man in country music and what a step that was for him. It's such a heartfelt interview. I'm so excited. Here is Ty Herndon.
Get that podcast level right.
Okay, Ty Herndon in the house.
Hey, turn around.
Speaking of House on Fire.
That was a nice segue.
I didn't even mean to do that.
Right before we turned on the camera, we were just talking about just songs that we love, but we don't really know the verses to.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous. I'm hungry. I don't know.
Turn around.
That's all I know.
That's all we know.
But
we know the key point.
Point. Yes, that's all we need to know. And then we love that song.
We love that song.
So, yeah, that's the way my whole album is. Just big courses and just
hooky stuff.
Yeah.
It's
actually more.
Your new album's called House on Fire.
House on Fire.
We're not getting to that yet, but I had a segue because that is exciting that you have a new album because you are one of my favorite voices in country music.
Well, you're one of my favorite people, so that's good.
I want to start off with a game. We're going to complete the sentence.
Okay.
So you tell a word and then we'll just make a sentence and see what happens.
Just pick a word?
Just pick any word.
Eat.
Happy.
Love.
Dogs.
Cats.
Meow.
Wolf. That's not a word. I'm so confused about your game.
Okay, I'll start. Wow, look at that picture of Jason Aldean right there. He is young. Okay, cowboy.
You know, I was playing a cowboy bar the other night. It was pretty awesome.
That's a whole sentence you said. You have to say one word.
Okay, I still don't understand your game.
Okay, so I say a word, so like cowboy, hat, dog, meow. No, we try to make a real sentence, but we have to do it rapid fire, think really fast.
This is way too smart for me.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I still don't understand, but okay. I'll just play along.
Say the first word that comes to mind when I say a word, but we have to make the sentence complete. Eggs.
Oh, I love scrambled eggs.
But you don't say a full sentence. You have to say another word.
I don't understand.
Okay, we'll do one more time.
Your game is dumb. I want a coloring book.
Okay, coloring book.
I like books.
Okay, I'm going to say a word. You tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. This is not a game. This is now rapid fire. We failed at that other game.
We
sure gave it a try.
Yeah.
One for the home team.
Will you explain it to me in an email later? That would be awesome.
Yeah. Okay, what do you think of when you think of happiness?
I think of my family.
Who all is in your family?
My mom, my sister, my nephew, my partner, my sweet publicist, Christy, sitting over there. Just so many people.
And speaking of partner, that's what we're going to get into too, because you had a big moment where you came out in country music, which was a huge deal and really awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I just walked right out that front door.
You just
came on out.
So we're going to get all into that because you've done so many amazing, like,
thank you,
huge moments in your life that you've just, like, I feel like.
It's been a lot of firsts. It has been, but I've been proud to do it, you know. I am at the end of the day, I say this all the time, I'm still the same old redneck I always was. Really, truly, I am. But people know a little bit more about me today, and you're going to learn a lot more about me in this new album. So it's pretty awesome.
Do you feel more yourself than ever?
I do. I feel, you know, you always say, you know, I feel like myself in my shoes. I feel like myself in my boots. I feel like myself when I'm writing songs. I feel like myself when I'm singing in the truck driving down the road. You know, I just am my authentic self, and I really enjoy getting to go and talk to high school kids, sometimes elementary kids, just sometimes LGBT events, you know, or standing up at in front of 5,000 people at a show and just talking about the song and why it was written. So I never was able to do that before. So it's pretty awesome, you know, just normal old stuff.
I mean, I guess we can just jump to this because it's a really big deal and it's awesome. How did you decide that it was time for you to be authentically yourself?
Well, one of my really good friends is Shelly Wright, which we all love in country music. Congratulations, Shelly, on a great debut with her new album.
Yay!
Yeah, she had a really great
debut. She's got a great voice.
She does, and she's writing some incredible material. But we've been friends a long time, and I was just at a place in my life that I was willing to give up. Even being in the music business, I was willing to give up what I did for a living because it was more important to me to be happy in my life. It was more important to me to wake up in the morning and feel good about myself. And I lived a life and in a career that was so covered up with so many different stories, I couldn't even keep up sometimes. So I just had to shed that skin. I had to get out of that.
Because that gets exhausting, overwhelming. You probably start to like lose yourself, do you?
I did. I lost myself for a long time. And when you lose yourself, you start going down some pretty dangerous roads. And for me, it was addiction, just the wrong pills to take.
Yeah.
You know, nothing was going to fix that because there was nothing wrong with me. So,
but you were having to act like you were someone you weren't.
Absolutely. And so many times you wake up in the morning and go, who am I? You know, who am I going to be today? Let me see, you know, what color, what race, what, you know. It was just maddening. And so for me, I really couldn't handle that anymore. So I made a decision. It took about a year for the process, for my brain to process it. You know, I really had to go out there and research, what is my life going to look like if I'm not doing country music? Would I be doing music? Would I be doing something else? Was I willing to just walk away from all that? And I came to a conclusion that I was.
So you weighed it out. What were the pros and cons of your life? What were the options?
Well, the pros for me were that I would be authentic. I would wake up in the morning feeling good about myself. I could walk down the street with my partner. I could eventually marry the person that I loved, the man that I loved in this instance, and possibly have a family. I mean, there was a lot of pros to it.
You're ready to be you in every form.
I was ready to be me, and I was ready for everyone to know me because a lot of people had some really wrong perceptions of me.
And do you feel like you were pressured into that?
Not at all.
You don't?
No.
Okay, so how did that happen?
I never would have allowed that to be, even in the pro and con pile. No, pressure was not a thing at all. The pressure came, to be honest with you, after I came out and made this huge announcement.
Do you feel like you're pressured in to not being yourself is what I meant?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I valued my career.
Right.
And being able to work and make a living and make my house payment more than I valued the skin that I was wearing.
Totally.
Yeah, it was really hard.
I'm just so proud of you, Ty.
Thank you.
Because
thank you very much.
To me, living authentically, at the end of the day, we're all going to die. I know that sounds morbid, but like to be yourself, especially when yourself is such a wonderful person.
Oh, thank you, you know, very much.
It's such an amazing thing.
Well, it's nice to wake up and like yourself. I mean, I tell kids this all the time. You know, to be able to like yourself, you're going to be a lot more successful in your life. So,
you really are.
Yeah, and I have parents that bring their kids to my shows now, and goes, "Okay, this kid just came out to me. He's 17 years old. He wants to be in country music." And I'm like, "Well, that's awesome." I said, "Well, he's got a responsibility to be the best damn songwriter, the best entertainer, the best singer, and that really comes second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is he?" He's got to figure out who he is or she is as an artist and let that be an addendum to who they are, not really take control of their lives because it can so easily go in such a negative place.
And you started a ripple effect. Like when you came out, I saw that like Billy Gilman made a video and came out.
You know, I don't know. I always tell Billy this.
And he's so cute. He's on The Voice now.
He's doing great. I'm so proud of him.
And he's living authentically now too. Like you changed his life to give him confidence.
Well, I don't know that I'll take full credit for that. But
no, he said it in his video. He said, well, my buddy Ty Herndon just came out, and okay. I think it's time for me.
Well, I was honored to lead the way with that. And I tell Billy this all the time. I said, you know, it probably would have been a normal news story when I came out. I said, but you doing it right on the heels of me coming out gave it rocket fuel. I said, we were everywhere. So I really didn't intend for it to be. It kind of blew my mind that we were trending 1 billion people out there.
1 billion people?
Over those 2 days, it was crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, but, you know, being a guy that's been in headlines before for not so such great things, to be in headlines again like that and to be celebrated was a gift from God. Now, back to what we were talking about, that's when I really got nervous. That's when I felt a different kind of pressure because I was like, okay, I walked out on stage 3 days after that announcement to a sold-out crowd, to a standing ovation, and God kind of let me know that I was going to get to keep what I was doing.
Everyone was cheering for you and so proud that you stood up for who you were?
They were. And for the next week and months to follow, you know, I was still playing the same honky-tonks, and I just noticed there was a little bit more of a modern family out there.
Which is the way it should be.
Everybody just get along. We're just we're just going to play some country music. So
you said you have been in headlines for not-so-positive stuff. How did you handle that, and what was that period of your life like?
Not very well. For my family and friends that know me, you know, I went down some pretty dark paths and almost lost my life more than once.
Really?
Yeah. So
through addiction?
Through addiction. Yeah. Just not being able to live my life authentically and just
what does that do to a soul?
You watch yourself. It's like you're an out-of-body experience. You kind of just, you're in the room, but you're not present.
Because you know it's not you.
Yeah. It's a ghost story.
Really?
That's exactly what it is.
You should write that song.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it together.
Ghost story.
It's a ghost story.
So you feel like you're not even in your body.
No, and it could have easily had a very unhappy ending. But by the grace of God, as you know about me, I'm a very spiritual man.
I love that.
And I think our paths are meant to be. And I certainly didn't understand that then because I was like, oh, tortured tie. You know, I just
tortured tie.
Oh, poor ghostly tortured tie. I couldn't understand. But anyone that I've talked to that's been down some horrible paths and had some bad things happen to them are just a shell of their selves.
And so, when you survive, though, don't you feel like it makes your story so much more impactful?
I wouldn't have a story. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you about it right now.
This is your message. So what is your message?
Well, you know, I'm not going to give that away completely because next year I've got a book coming.
You do?
Yes. So,
what's it called?
It's also called House on Fire.
I love it.
Yes.
Was that kind of a representation of how you were living? Like you finally, did you like, what, is it a metaphor? Like you burned the whole house down or your house was on fire and you have to run out?
The metaphor of that song was this when we wrote it. And there's quite a few songs like this on the album. But I just wanted to take all those memories and all those bad things, all those people that were hanging on the walls. What that house was built of was not anything authentic. And so it was just simply about, I poured the gas, I lit the match, didn't grab a damn thing on my way out. And it's just about burning it down. But it's not about burning it down and running away. It's about burning it down and rebuilding. Yes, because those same pictures are going to go back on those walls, but it's going to be new relationships with those people. So it's really healthy. So.
This is what life is about. These are the moments.
Hallelujah.
They are, because like you lived through the fire.
You know, I did, and my brain would completely somewhere because I'm a big Anthony Robbins. I also walked on fire.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't burn my feet, so it was all good.
Isn't that part of it? Like you walk on fire to show that you can? Did you do a lot of stuff like soul searching?
What my partner Matthew, one of my first Christmas presents that I got from him was a 1 week Anthony Robbins seminar in Chicago.
So we went together.
He's a motivational guru. So.
Not like Tony Robbins.
Same guy. Yeah, Tony Robbins. Anthony Robbins. Tony Robbins.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with Tony Robbins.
Yeah. So
he's like, I watch everything he does.
He's my Twitter friend. So
does he know you?
He does.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, but
you've talked to him in real life?
I have not talked to him in real life, just on Twitter. So isn't that the same thing?
Totally the same thing. Okay. Actually, it's more personal when you're talking on social media.
Yeah, so.
Oh my gosh, I love Tony Robbins.
Yeah, man. So that was one of my first Christmas gifts from Matthew.
Was it life-changing?
It was. And I went, I'm going back again in next February, but more of a celebration for me at this time in my life and business to move forward, to move my brand forward, because that's a really good thing to do. But back to the ultimate decision to come out, it started at that seminar.
It did.
Yes, because I knew all the tools I was getting. I couldn't use any of those. You know, it was a mess. So to be able to clean that up, it was great.
Okay, so that kind of gave you the push to be like, okay, I'm start, because he's all about being authentic, being real, and God will bless you for that.
Yes.
And do you feel like God has blessed you?
God has tremendously blessed me.
What's happened since this moment of authenticity has become who you are?
Well, number one, I can breathe.
So you have been holding your breath for years.
Yes, number one.
Wow, have you felt like you've been drowning?
It's like a newborn baby taking your first breath.
Wow.
It's like, and it's different air.
Do you feel like you're just so light?
I do. But for me, it's just about making better decisions now. And you still fall into some old habits. Like, I'll still walk into a room and feel like, not feel as small as I used to. But then I have to give that a little bit of adjustment and go, wait a minute, I'm as big as you are in this room. So
heck yes.
It's a good feeling.
Know your worth, know your power.
When you can pull that all together. And being in country music, you know.
Man, you picked a hard genre.
I did, but I didn't at the same time.
You're changing it.
I hope so. The only thing I really want to change is just the perception that people have of the LGBT community. Because, you know, I say this a million times. I didn't expect to talk about this today, but I like you. I love the fact that I can sit down and go, hey, do you know any gay people? You know, you probably have five or six in your neighborhood of just normal bankers, lawyers.
Yeah.
You know, it's really just kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
And so I love country music. I love that people are coming to the shows. Thank you, guys. And they come to hear me sing. You know, they don't come to hear about anything else in my life. They come to hear me sing
songs
and what I'm writing. And this is really cool thing about this album. I'm going to swing this back around right now.
Swing it back around.
This record is gender free.
Love it.
The whole album is.
That was intentional.
Well, about six songs in, my co-writer and producer Eric Halbig said,
"Love him."
Yeah, we love Eric. He goes, "Do you realize that you're kind of heading into gender free? Do you want to do that?" And I'm like, "Didn't realize I was doing it, but let's just keep writing." And what I realized at the end of the day, when this album was said and done, doesn't matter who you are, or where you are in your walk of life out there, you can take these songs from our experiences, and I promise you, you're going to be able to put your own life into it with whoever you love or whatever you're doing. So that is really what happened with this record, and that's one of the things I'm really, really proud of. And that I feel like was a little bit of a spiritual gift.
And it happened so naturally.
It happened just that way.
Okay, so I kind of want to start at the beginning just a little bit, and then we're going to wrap back up with House on Fire.
Woohoo!
Okay, so you were raised in Alabama, began playing piano, singing gospel. You moved to Nashville out of high school, and right when you moved here, was it you became a member of Today's Country Roads and were performing
Come walk with us down Today's Country Roads. I still remember.
What was that?
Yeah, there's a little dance move that goes with that, too.
Oh, later.
It was Opryland USA, which was like the thing I did when I was a kid. We would drive up the 2 hours from Decatur, Alabama, 2.5 hours, and go to Opryland. We'd watch the shows. And for me, that was like this kid that grew up in bluegrass and gospel, something I just wanted to do.
So you started living your dreams right at 17.
I did. I auditioned. My sister and I went. She drove me down, and I got the job. And they put me in a show called Today's Country Roads. Six singers, three boys, three girls. And we did the top 10 on the country chart.
Was it a blast?
It was a blast. Yeah. So I was singing Ronnie Millsap, you know, Kenny Rogers. We were just, it was great. We were getting to do all of those songs. It was great songs of the late 80s and 90s. So
what a great intro just into country music, like getting your career started.
It was fantastic. And the next year they changed it the next summer to just the three guys, and we became the Grizzly River Boys.
And did that, like, become a major band?
Well, then we changed it to the Tennessee River Boys.
And that later became?
I left the band to go do Ed McMahon's Star Search.
And you won and the
Marty,
mail.
And Marty Rowe took my place in the band, and they became Diamond Rio.
Were you upset that you left?
Stitch. No, because I've never really felt like other than gospel and Christian music, I felt like I belonged in a group with that. But I never felt like I belonged in a group. It just wasn't something I was ever interested in.
So you weren't like, dang it, I left, and then they became Diamond Rio?
I really was. Yeah. I really wasn't. They were.
You knew it wasn't your path. You got what you came for with it, and then you moved on.
Yes. And I went out to California and was doing my thing out there for a while, and then it was me moving to Texas.
I know, because so you leave the band after it has all these name changes, and ultimately it comes to Diamond Rio.
Yes.
You leave right before Diamond Rio is formed.
It took about it was 3 years later before Diamond Rio actually took off.
Then you did Star Search. You won the male category of best male vocalist. So does that?
Well, I didn't actually win. I went all the way to the finals. Sam Harris won.
Who's that?
Sam Harris is a Tony Award winning Broadway singer now. But
okay, so clearly it launched careers.
And
that was like the first
Rosie O'Donnell, Sawyer Brown. We were all on the same year.
So this is before American Idol. Before X Factor.
This was the original.
I love
Leanne
Rimes.
She was on Star Search. So many people were on that show.
I totally loved that show.
Yeah, man. I did too. So it was kind of fun.
So it kicked off your career.
It did. And then I got to do another television series called You Write the Songs that came out of that. It was a songwriting competition. We performed the songs. I don't know where those tapes are.
You were on TV for a while.
2 seasons. Yeah.
Was that fun?
It was fun, but it was not helping my country career. Sawyer Brown went right out of that and got a record deal. I came back to Nashville, did a couple of projects.
He went out of what?
Was not out of Star Search.
Oh, he was on Star Search,
too. The band, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Miller and Sawyer Brown.
So Epic didn't sign you from Star Search.
No.
They signed you because you went to Texas, and then you won, like, Male Vocalist of the Year in Texas.
Texas Entertainer of the Year.
Okay.
Hello.
I mean, not just Male Vocalist. So once you'd already won Star Search, you'd been in this band that was originally Diamond Rio, and now you won Entertainer of the Year in Texas. So finally, national record labels are
there
like,
just happened to be Margie Hunt was sitting out there who was working at Sony Nashville. She just happened to, if I remember the story correctly, she was visiting some friends.
In Texas. Was there a show or an award show?
Yes. And so she was there. She came back to Nashville, said some nice things. That next Saturday, a couple of the executives came to town, and I had a record deal 3 weeks later.
How many years had you been doing music now at this point?
I had been doing music for 10 years?
They say it's a 10-year town.
Yeah, it's a 10-year town.
No one gets their big break till about 10 years in, huh?
Man, it was crazy. After that, 6 weeks later, the record was done.
And then here comes.
And 12 weeks later, I had
a
number one record.
12 weeks
later? Yeah, we still hold the record.
You got a number one in how many weeks on the chart?
12 weeks.
Your debut single, What Mattered Most, still one of my most favorite songs.
Isn't that a great song? Yes.
Can you sing just a little bit of it?
Her eyes are blue. Her hair was long. In 64, she was born in Baton Rouge. Yeah.
Oh, tight.
It's a pretty song, man. It's still my favorite to sing.
It is?
Yeah.
Your first single 20 years ago?
And I never do it anymore with the full band. I mean,
you just make it a moment?
Yeah.
Song's a moment.
Yeah, it is a moment.
That is a special song. That was a 12-week, that got to number one in 12 weeks.
Yeah, we had
highest debut single of all times, probably.
It was a high debut single. It was the most added at country radio with 90 ads.
Oh, my gosh.
No, 190. I can't remember. It was
just
a bunch
huge,
of them.
Tons of ads.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that song.
Business has changed, and we're happy when we get, there's three at country radio.
I know.
Got three ads.
It is totally crazy out there. Okay, so then you go on to have a gold album. And you have you have a string of hits, and then you release second album, which what was that one called?
Living in a Moment.
Oh, Living in a Moment.
Yeah, it was funny. I had off of every album, I had a number one record, and then second single it would go to number five, third single number 50. I never could get a string of them off of one album. So it was kind of crazy. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Best voice and the best songs.
You know, looking at what I do today, during that time I didn't write. Doug Johnson and Paul Worley and
great
so many
producers.
People did great job finding me songs, But looking back on it, I listen back to some of the records and go, I probably wouldn't have cut that.
Maybe it's not you. Now looking back.
Yeah. So, but great records. So.
Okay. So let's talk through some of your hits. You've had, obviously, What Mattered Most, Living in a Moment. I Want My Goodbye Back, Love Too Much, Man Holding On to a Woman Letting Go.
Great song.
Hands of a Working Man. It's you working have man. Sold over 5 million albums.
And that's hard to do today, too.
That's like, you're in an elite club.
Man, I appreciate it, too.
The fact that you have sold 5 million albums.
That's crazy.
People can't even sell 100,000 of a debut album anymore.
I know. You know, and our goal today is to get 5 million Twitter followers.
I know. Social media is the goal, not the gold albums. Gold
Twitter
followers.
To learn about all that stuff. It's been the last 4 years has been a real education for me.
In
social media world. So.
So, okay, you've done so much. Okay, so then you got your first two albums, and then that's where the rough patch kind of hits.
The rough patch hit right off the bat. I had my first number one record.
Okay.
And I was on my second single. My second single was, I think it was at number 15 or something like that.
And what was your second single?
I Want My Goodbye Back.
Okay.
Remember that song?
Yes.
Yeah. So I had a big drug arrest after that and some really humiliating things around it that happened that made me even smaller, you know? I just grew inward. I can't talk about a lot of that because it's in the book. Yeah.
It House on Fire, Ty Herndon book. So let's make sure we get that book.
That house was on fire, people.
I'm so glad you're writing it all out and putting it out there.
Yeah. And you know, the amazing Chris Willman from Rolling Stone is my voice in this novel.
Awesome. What do you mean your voice?
He is actually the writer.
Great. So he's a professional
I tell
writer.
The story.
That's the way to do it. And then he writes it all. Okay.
Yeah.
So you
can't even play your game. How am I going to write that stuff down?
Hey, that's why we got people to help us get our stories out, right?
Hey.
That's what it's a teamwork to make the dream work.
Teamwork to make the dream work. Amen.
So right after your first single, you're on your second single. That's when it all kind of starts to swirl.
And yeah, it all should have really been over, and my life almost was over, too,
wow,
right after that.
Wow, it went that dark.
Yes, but I had a great group, a great support group of people at the label and family that helped me at least get back on my feet a little bit. And so I went to rehab.
Good for you.
And it was more of a media circus, because I will give a little bit of this away, but I remember doing a press conference right outside the gates of rehab, which would never happen today.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So that's extra drama.
And this is real country. Apologize to your mama at the time. Apologize to your wife. Apologize to your family. And, you know, I made a mistake. Just move on. And that's, for me, what that was. So I basically had a little bit of a vacation. 30 days out. 1 week later, back on the road. So, no healing time.
So, you didn't really heal in that time?
No.
Was it more just for media?
I would probably say so.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is terrible today, because, you know, you're when you look back on it, when you wanted to scream to the fans, you know, this is why this happened, and you couldn't. And so, and that would never have worked back then as well. So, it's just, my journey from that point was a part of my story today that saves people's lives. So that's why.
And that's why that happened.
You're going to make me cry today.
Hey, I'm proud of you. Like, it is inspiring to me that you have taken these hardships and these secrets that you had to live with because you had to, because at that time it wasn't, I don't know, whatever reason in the industry, like it was, the times were still a little bit like stuck somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking back on it, it was who I was, but I didn't even believe it yet. You know, I was in such denial about who I was, because I've talked to so many kids that, especially in the South, that would tell me, I would rather take a gun to my head than admit that.
Why is it so scary?
You know, how we're raised, what we're taught, who we are, who generations of people are, that makes the blueprint of who you are. And sometimes that blueprint's really hard to change.
Yeah.
So you got to start over. And you've got a lot of elements. I tell these kids this all the time. You've got a lot of elements in your life working against you. The hardest thing you'll ever do is be yourself. And not everybody's going to like it. So, but what are you going to do with it? What's your journey going to be? What's your story going to be? And especially if they want to be in the music business, because today things are different. Mm-hmm. So you got to be the damn best talent you can be. And you got to write authentically about your life. You want to talk? Write about it.
I agree.
Yep.
Okay, so that was like album one and two.
Wait, I'm good. I'm good now. Yes.
Time.
I went all Taylor Lynn on you. All tears. Hi, Taylor.
Cry. Get those tears out.
Cry, baby, tell me why. See, that's another one. Tell me why, baby, something like that. Anyway,
all you need is
you make me cry.
I don't want you to cry. I want you to cry happy tears.
It's happy. It's
so
all good.
Okay. So that's album one and two.
Yeah.
Then you go to rehab all that. But are you releasing
album
three?
No, that was before album two.
Album two release. So then you're touring album two in your dark place.
We weren't even thinking about album two yet. So we had another two singles coming off of What Mattered Most.
So right off the bat, you are just in it.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's crazy to, I don't know these facts to be true, but, you know, I know there was a lot of nominations at that time that were taken away, you know, a lot of accolades that would have come my way for a new artist that was doing so well.
Right.
So, and also make you smaller. You know, you just, it's just that the pounding continued.
How long did you live small?
I say I lived small until 20 months ago, but the small wasn't as small as it was. So,
Ty, because you're such a beautiful spirit.
Thank you.
But the turmoil that goes on in someone's mind that no one knows about, and that's why your life is so important, because you're going to save lives.
It's important to have sparkle in your eyes.
And you have it.
Yeah, that's the main thing that people say to me today, and that's a God thing for sure. That people that haven't seen me in a while, they're like, whoa, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Heck yes. Okay, so tell me the cycle of what happened between albums one, two, three. Because then you released album three, which was your most important, your personal one besides House on Fire, Journey On.
No.
Is that album four?
That was album three was Big Hopes.
Okay.
The albums just kept coming. There were five albums on Sony.
Okay.
Yes. So.
And how was
you know,
that Sony
every
period?
2 years, every year and a half, we would do an album and be very well received. I would always have a hit single. Off of the album. My Sony family was incredible, but my life is deteriorating. And you can't expect the corporate world to continue to support you when your life is deteriorating. And, you know, talking about getting small, then you just disappear.
Yeah.
So I disappeared. And the label, we came to a mutual decision to leave Sony. Mm-hmm. And I think I had two albums left on that contract.
Really? But it was just time.
Yeah, it was just time. And
what'd you do when you left?
I moved to LA, and it was a bad idea.
Oh, gosh. So did you really go down the rabbit hole?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Hollywood famous. Yeah.
Okay.
I spent a lot of money, you know, had a lot of parties.
Okay.
And you just do that. And then you wake up one day, and, you know, for me, you know, a drug addict, my, you know, teeth falling out, you know, looked like something from a bad character on, I love this show, I'm going to say it, Hee Haw, but it was pretty bad. And there's a lot of stuff that went on in there with almost losing my life again. But I came home, my sister announced she was having my beautiful nephew, and
Alabama?
Yeah, no, to Nashville.
You came back to Nashville.
Yeah, okay. Pivotal moment.
It was? So, why was that a pivotal moment?
Because at that point, it was something that made me want to live.
New life.
New life.
The new life of your nephew made you want to live.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Aww.
Absolutely, man.
Ty.
I know. So
that's awesome. So it woke you up.
I basically
in some
came
way.
Back, got my shit together.
You and, did?
Yeah.
When was that?
Let's see. Jack is about to turn 13. So, yeah, that
13
long ago.
Years ago?
Hmm.
So 13
and then that,
years ago,
and then that
start,
time, I started writing.
And that's when the first time you started writing, because you didn't write on the first five albums.
I did not.
What made you want to start? You had something you wanted to say.
I had something. Daddy had something to say. Yeah.
Okay, so you're ready to get it out now. You're ready to start becoming yourself.
I just call myself Daddy.
Hey, that's Daddy.
My friend, Big Daddy T.
Big Daddy T.
Big Daddy T had something to say.
Big Daddy T was ready to talk. So this is the beginning 13 years ago of when you started scratching at the surface of saying, I'm ready to come out as myself. Not necessarily come out, but like you're ready to start getting it out there.
I think I started laying the pavement back then. Because I remember, because I went back second time to rehab, and it was more about this.
Your head.
Yeah, it was more about connecting this and this.
Your mind and your soul.
Yeah, and I remember doing my counselor You know, I was so full of crap that I had to sit out in the hall the first 4 days with a sign around my neck that said, "I'm full of crap."
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Were you just like BSing everybody?
Oh, yeah, I was still in showbiz, baby.
Were you
I was showbiz.
To talk
how
everyone?
You doing? Yeah, I'm tired. And how you? I mean, that guy.
You had to wear a sign that said, "I'm full of crap."
Yeah, that didn't what it said. It just said something else. But I had to learn to let all that go. I had to become that small person.
You had to be humbled.
No, I just had to let. I had to give in to him.
Oh,
I had
okay.
I had to become.
You'd feel
that.
It.
Yeah.
How did that feel when you feel all that?
It was pretty awesome. We had a funeral for that guy.
You did?
Yeah.
You had just, like a ceremony.
We
for
buried
real?
Him. Yeah.
Was that kind of nice?
It was great. Absolutely.
So you buried the old tie.
I had a lot of nice things to say about him. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
but
great.
Yeah.
That was a great part of him.
But the rebirth started at that point.
Wow. I love actual physical
acting it out.
Acting it out.
Yeah.
That really does help.
It does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It makes
symbolic.
It real. So I got out of the hall and came back in.
Okay.
But, you know, leaving that facility at that point, it wasn't about drugs. It wasn't about alcohol. It was about getting my heart and mind to connect on who I was. So that really started the journey.
And when was that? How many years ago?
12 years ago.
Okay, so that started the journey.
Yeah.
Then you released Journey,
Journey
On.
Journey On.
And you write...
I moved into Mary Frances Rudy's guest house. And she's an awesome lady over here on Belmont Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. She said, "All right, you can live here. You can live here for free. But I will be knocking on that door at 7:30 every morning. And you will give me the schedule of who you're riding with and what you're doing."
So she was an angel.
She was. And there was this amazing grand piano in the foyer. And I sat there just one note at a time, started, you know, I can play piano, but I really truly started
one
note at a time.
She kept you accountable and she kept you mm-hmm. inspired on your craft.
6 months later, we had written probably 26 songs for the Journey On album.
Wow.
And I started being brave enough to write with people.
Because that is scary to put yourself out
it
there.
It is.
Okay. Tell me about that songwriting community, how that feels, like putting yourself out there, because you have to like say your truth.
Well, Journey On was a Christian record. It was a contemporary Christian country.
And you won a Dove Award, a Grammy nominated.
I know. So, you know, God was speaking. The universe was speaking.
So
my
you're
friends
on the
were
right
speaking.
Track.
And there's nothing better than writing with Christian writers because they're so fun and goofy. And
what
you
a
know,
perfect time, though, that you
yeah,
needed
like,
that faith.
Yeah, I got a lot of the writers. There's 7 writers on that record. And
wow.
Most of them were like, "What are you really trying to say?" Because I would find myself going back to that guy, you know, trying to sugarcoat things. But that the
they
album,
made you say the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So get
okay.
off my cord.
So was Journey On an important album for you?
It was the beginning of me musically. I think I had some great records and you heard some of my soul in those records. But Journey On was the real window that you were starting to see inside of that tiny person that was becoming a grown-up man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
I love it.
It's crazy. And then this is, the new album's all grown-up tie.
And so then, on November 20th, 2014, after you made the big statement, you came out, you freed mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah.
You said, "I'm going to be authentically who I am." And
yes.
then.
And I wasn't only coming out for myself during that time. I had fallen in love with a great guy.
Do you think falling in love with someone that you truly wanted to be with made you want to come out more?
It actually made me hesitate for
okay.
a minute because I wasn't just coming out for me. We were both coming out because they were really, his family knew, but not a lot of their family knew,
okay.
you know, the big secret. And the support was just overwhelming from everyone, you know, and quite honest, because we are friends and we're talking honest, it wasn't all roses. You know,
yeah.
there was a lot of hate out there. And
people are scared of what they don't understand.
Well, they are. And I understand that. And so, but my friend Shelley Wright also told me, she goes, "For at least a year, don't be reading all that stuff, you know, because you'll want to get your dukes up." And you can't fight hate with hate.
Nope.
You
nope.
Fight,
so true.
You fight hate with love. And
Amen.
So I'm still, here it is almost 2 years later. I'm, 19, 20 months? I'm still going through some of those. And it's very interesting what people wrote in the moment that they've taken back.
They've changed
when
their
you,
mind.
Because, you know, 17 months later, you get an answer from me. Well, thank you for your comment, and I understand where you're coming from, and I would really appreciate your love and support in the future if you can.
So you write people back.
Absolutely.
With love.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow, what a bigger person that is of you.
Well, let me tell you, some of them I did start F. Oh no, love L.
That's amazing, Ty.
Well, like I said, I'm still the same old redneck I always was, but I.
But you're intentional.
I'm intentional, and I have people around me that are intentional and that are lovely and awesome, and I don't really allow much in that's not that.
As you should.
Yeah, and you can see it coming, too.
And you protect yourself.
Nice to meet you.
All right, I'm going to move along.
How you doing?
So tell me about House on Fire, the creation of that album, and why you're so excited about it.
It started for me, House on Fire, the first song we wrote was the 38 Song Festival in Panama City, Florida, well, in that area. A huge festival, it'll be my third year doing it, but in the car ride down with Eric Halbig and Drew Davis, I said, you guys, come on, let's go down and do this thing, and we just, the idea of this album was, I said, I don't know what I want to do next, you know, for me it was, I want to go out and try to get a new recording situation. But I don't know what that looks like.
Right.
So, you know, Eric's awesome. Well, let's just start writing some songs, man. Drew Davis, he's such a hippie. Let's just start writing some songs. So the first song we wrote for this album is a song called All Night Tonight. We wrote it on the 36th floor of Mary Frances Rudy's beach condo.
This lady's important.
She's important, yeah. And that started the ball rolling. And we came back and just woodshed. And we had written 7 songs in a month. And we started recording, and we were happy with that. But I wasn't as happy. I said, "There's got to be more." So I cut back on the writing a little bit because I'm not a selfish writer. There's a lot of great songs out there.
Totally, but you knew what you wanted to say.
Yes. So we went through Eric's catalog and Drew's catalog and found some. Really, hadn't go any further than that.
That's awesome.
Yes, and we started kind of tailor-making. So a couple of songs I became a writer on.
Because you made them for you.
Made them for me, yes. And, of course, we wanted to make sure that was okay with the writers, but I changed a lot of the stuff in the song. And then the rest were just Annie Bosco wrote a great song called Fighter.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, and it closes out the album. So it starts out rocking fun, then it gets to the meat and potatoes, then it gets to the spiritual stuff in the end, Change the World stuff.
Do you have any favorites or songs that, like, really, really...
This is the first album that I've ever done that I will go back... I mean, I'm not a big guy that likes... I love myself. I'm going to hear myself sing. But I go back to this album because of the songs. I'm a runner. I run, and it's very unusual that I would put myself on...
You love it that much.
...the iPod.
That's a great sign.
I love the music that much.
You love hearing it.
Yeah.
And you said you didn't know what kind of record label situation. You've gotten a great situation set up for yourself. Tell me about that.
Well,
how
it's interesting.
How exciting are you in this phase?
I am. But, you know, we shop. This is another story that people need to know. That didn't come easy as well. We finished this record. We all thought it was pretty good. And we shopped it for a good 4 months. But the industry was so amazing. Everyone took the meetings. Everyone loved the music. But I did kind of have the pink elephant. In the room, a lot of times.
I love that.
It's like, you know, what are we going to do with this guy? You know, and so when it actually happened, and I actually ended up back in the Sony family.
How cool is that?
With this Sony Red distribution deal.
I feel like that is just amazing.
It's
full circle.
Old full circle right there. But the first thing I said to Dwayne at the label, Dwayne Brown, who'd worked at the label since I was there. He'll tell you this. The first thing I said was, listen, man, just listen to the record. Can we please not bring the pink elephant in the room? He goes, he's dead.
He's dead. Great.
He's not here.
And that's great because you just want to make it about the music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it was about the music. And I'm super excited because this will be the biggest album launch for me. Everything's been independent since Journey On. So this will be... the little album that could,
Ty, woo-hoo. That your story makes my heart sing because the fact that you have just stayed on through all of it, you never quit. You always kept fight. You're the fighter.
That song's important to me.
You fought for yourself.
Why do you hear that song? You'll recognize some things.
I'm emotional about it. But like, how proud are you of the man you are?
I'm proud of where I'm at today. I know there's a lot of work ahead.
We all have a lot of work.
Yeah. So Matthew and I are great. My family's great, and we'll just looking forward to tour dates. You know, it's kind of funny. We'll talk about this briefly. It's been crazy because we would go and do shows, and I'd be so grateful if there'd be 100 people there. I'm like, you guys, I love you so much, the 100 people here. And as this has all progressed, I've seen that grow and grow and grow.
How cool is that?
So I'm really looking forward to going out there this next year and seeing some big crowds and letting them hear my story.
Do you know where you're going to kick off your tour?
I don't.
Okay, so TBD. When is touring going to start?
Well, you never stop touring in country music.
That is true.
You know that you're married to an awesome musician.
Oh, yes. Yes. Touring is 24/7.
You did it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but an official tour, we're working on announcing because we want to do that. And so I'm with Buddy Lee Attractions here. There's a lot of great artists on.
Man, this is exciting,
label
Ty.
Over there. So we'll see what happens.
And the album launches November.
November 11th.
11th.
11/11.
11. Lucky number 11/11.
11/11.
Ty, yeah. This is
that also was an accident.
Then that's a sign.
I hope so.
Do you feel like this is? What do you feel about all this? How
well
your life
the
is
number one important thing is I'm not afraid to feel. So I feel a lot of things. You know, I feel happy. I feel joy. I feel terrified. Just whatever the day is. You know about. Oh my God! I really put myself out there. You know, but
yeah.
Something always happens in the day that lets me know that I'm on the right path.
Do you look for signs?
Like, I didn't expect this in-depth interview. I thought we were just going to be silly, but I've enjoyed this. Really, I have.
You have?
Yeah, I've enjoyed this because I know that I'm getting to speak truth to a friend, and that's going out of our hearts to you guys, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Well, you know, the point of my podcast is to interview people who have had a beautiful life journey in the music industry on some sort, but to showcase the highs, lows, and inspiration. Because it's very important to me. I feel like my calling on life is to showcase people who are great and to show that like everyone has struggles, but you have to persevere and fight through it.
Absolutely.
And you have to pursue your calling because that's why we're put on this earth from God.
Life in full bloom, people. That's what we're talking
about.
That's
the only reason we're here.
Right there. That's the only reason we're
here.
And
you're bloomed.
I'm bloomed.
You're flower.
I'm a blooming idiot most days, too.
No, you're not. You are a beautiful flower.
Thank you very much.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to wrap up.
Making me blush.
I don't want to wrap up because I want to talk to you forever. Where do you see your life in the next 10 years? In your vision board, in your dreams, what do you want the next 10 years to look like?
Well, I think I'll still be making records. It'll be interesting to see as this progresses what the next album looks like and touring and doing all this stuff. But, you know, I just have normal dreams. I want to get married. I want to have a family. You know, and a lot of my musician friends are my age and are just starting families. And so I love that we're in a place today that that I'm not afraid to dream that. So that's just the future for me, and I just have a very strong feeling that's exactly what you will be talking about a year from now, and then, you know, probably 2 years from now.
So get married, have a family, keep touring, make great music.
Absolutely. That's it.
I love it.
Living the dream.
Okay, so I like to wrap up with Leave Your Light. So out of everything you've experienced, your whole life journey, leave inspiration that you, how you feel inspired and how you want to inspire people.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Through music? Through my spirituality, through my gift.
What's your message?
My message is that you can go out there and be exactly who you want to be in this life. You just have to work hard for it and be yourself, be authentic, and find some way, somehow, to find your spiritual path. So it's very important.
I love that.
Yeah.
Ty Herndon, House on Fire, November 11th, coming at ya.
Living in a moment we would die for. See you guys.
Bye. I hope you loved hearing from Ty Herndon. Y'all go pick up his album, House on Fire. Next week is so exciting. I have the Loving Mary Band. This is a band composed of superstars. Rebecca Lynn Howard had the huge hit Forgive. She's a 2-time Grammy winner. There is Marty Fredrickson. He's produced everyone from Aerosmith to Gavin Rossdale to Carrie Underwood to Buckcherry to Daughtry to Ozzy Osbourne, to name a few. Oh, Faith Hill, too. And then there are two couples in the band. Rebecca Lynn Howard and her husband, Alicia, are in the band. And we also wrote the song Lipstick together for Runaway June with Runaway June. And then, you guys, there's another couple in the band. Susie and Andrew. So it's like Fleetwood Mac back in the day. How fun is that? And y'all, they talk about everything. They just released an album, A Little Bit of Love. It is so incredible. Oh, I forgot to mention, they are Steven Tyler's band. They tour with Steven Tyler and they play for Steven Tyler. So it's pretty much as cool as you can get. These guys are literally rock and roll. They're straight out of a rock and roll movie. They're so cool to the core. Y'all will not want to miss it next week with Loving Mary Band. See y'all then. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Bye.